Good morning, dear Sangha. Today is June the 30th in the year 2011, and we are in the Stillwater Meditation Hall, Upper Humbert, Plum Village. During the time of the Buddha, there was a monastic day every fortnight called Uposatha, Uposada. The monks come together and spend one whole day together, joyfully. And one of the things they did is to recite the Pratimoksha, the precepts. And they spend a whole day together joyfully. That tradition has been preserved in the last 2,600 years, monastic days. Now in Plum Village we do better because at the time of the monastic day we have a lay day. It means the lay practitioners come together and also enjoy the recitation of the precept and spend the whole day together building brotherhood, sisterhood, and so on. So the monastic day is for the monastic and the lay day is for the lay practitioners. The Vietnamese word is Bồ Tát. And the word Bồ Tát, Upasada, is translated as Trưởng Dưỡng or Trưởng Tình. Trưởng, means to grow, to make it stronger. To make it stronger, more robust. And yuan means to nourish. So the monastic day is to help you to nourish yourself in order for you to grow into a stronger practitioner, a happier practitioner. And trưởng tình means to cultivate, to make it grow, the purity, the purification. So the practice is to purify oneself, body and mind. And your happiness depends on your practice of purification. So during the monastic day, they spend time together in order to grow together and to help each other to purify and to grow together. And also during that day we have a chance to be together and to create, to cultivate a brotherhood, sisterhood, which is very nourishing and healing. Trịnh Công Sơn said that Trịnh Công Sơn is famous young composer in Vietnam. He said that romantic love cannot be compared to brotherhood and sisterhood, because brotherhood and sisterhood is very long-lasting, and it can heal, it can transform, it can help heal and transform. Fortunately, there is romantic love, but there is also brotherhood and sisterhood. If there is no brotherhood and sisterhood, romantic love is not enough. That is what he said. So the monastic day is to build brotherhood, sisterhood, sustaining our ideal, our happiness, our practice. And that is one of the most important aim of the Uposatha day, to spend time together and to cultivate more brotherhood, sisterhood, in order for us to have enough strength to continue. And we still remember the monastic retreats in Germany. We spent 5 days together, learning, practicing, and playing together. And everyone know that it's very healing, very nourishing, the monastic retreat. Martin Luther King has said that community building, Sangha building, is very important. And he was aware that without a Sangha, without a community, nothing could be done. And therefore, he spent his time building his community, and he called it the beloved community. So beloved community is an expression used by Martin Luther King for Sangha. Sangha building is what we need to do. And without brotherhood and sisterhood, Sangha, every one of us. Even during the winter retreat here in Plum Village, we have always had 90 days, 3 months in a row, to be together. We are very grateful that the Buddha has set up the rain retreat every year, so that we have a chance to stay in one place. Okay. 90 days in a row, in order to build brotherhood and sisterhood. But in Plum Village, we still have a monastic day every week in winter, and at the same time we have a lay day. We know that all of us need the practice in order to help transform the suffering in ourselves, in our family, in our community, and in the world. But the practice will not be easy if there is no Sangha. Therefore, Sangha building is very important. Every one of us, especially the young people, we are aware that suffering is there within ourselves and in the world. We want to do something, to be something, in order to help reduce the amount of suffering in us. And many of us feel helpless because the amount of suffering is overwhelming. And alone, it does not seem that you cannot do much in order to alleviate that suffering. Overwhelming and become sick. We don't want to live anymore, even when we are still very young. The Buddha, when he was young, he had the same feeling. He saw the suffering around him. He saw that even when you are a king, you cannot do much in order to alleviate the suffering. So he decided not to become a king. He tried to find another way. And what motivated him to become a monk, to practice, is a desire to help people to suffer less. So when we become a monk, a nun, a lay practitioner, it means that we are motivated by the same desire as the Buddha, to do something in order to alleviate the suffering in ourselves and in the world, because the suffering in ourselves reflect the suffering of the world. And if we understand our suffering, we understand the suffering of the world. And if we can transform the suffering in ourselves, we'll be able to help transform the suffering in the world. It's very simple, very clear. And that is what the Buddha did. So whether you have been ordained as a monastic practitioner or a lay practitioner, you have followed the path of the Buddha. And you ordained not in order to avoid suffering, to avoid society. You ordain in order to get the strength that you need in order to help alleviate the suffering in the world. And you learn that alone you cannot do much. You have to be a sangha in order to do something. And that is why the first thing that the Buddha did after enlightenment is to look around for elements in order to build a sangha. And the Buddha was an excellent sangha builder. In no time at all, he built a monastic sangha of 1,250 people during the first years of his career as a teacher. He was able to do that. It's not easy, but he learned. The Buddha learned how to build a sangha, and we also learn how to build a sangha. When I met with Martin Luther King, we discussed about sangha building, and he used the word beloved community in order to describe the sangha. When Thầy was a young monk, the suffering in Vietnam was overwhelming also. So many people died, not only soldiers, but civilians. Not only grown-up people died, but also children. And millions of people died. And how can you help? You are overwhelmed by the suffering. You want to do something to end the war. And and we saw very clearly that without coming together as a sangha, you cannot do much. Sister Chen Khong, in her book Learning True Love, she also said the same thing. She was trying to do things in order to relieve the suffering in society. the poor people, the oppressed people. But that's not enough. The war was destroying a lot. That is why she also engaged herself in peace activities, and she got sometimes she got into prison because of her peace activities. And they also had to suffer 40 years of exile because he dare to do something in order to help bring the war to an end. 40 years of exile. But we have to do something. Otherwise, we cannot survive physically and mentally. You get insane if you cannot do anything. So all of us feel very much the same. Our planet is in danger. So much violence, so much suffering is going on in the world. If we feel helpless, we get insane. We want to do something. First of all, to survive, and then to help reduce the suffering. And we know, we learn very well, like the Buddha, if you don't have a Sangha, you cannot do much. Therefore, we come together, we stick to the Sangha, and we know that there is no way out except with a Sangha. Remember the poem he wrote when he was young. Trái ý thức chín rồi, the fruit of our awareness is only ripe. Tuổi trẻ tôi, trái mơ xanh. Vết răng của em gây thành thương tích nhỏ. Những chân răng rúng động và nhớ hoài. My youth is like a green plum, and you left the mark of your teeth in it, and I always remember. But since that time, the door is only open. And reality, enter me. Nhưng từ thuở yêu em, cánh cửa tôi mở rộng trước gió. Thực tại kêu gào cách mạng. Trái ý thức chín rồi, cánh cửa không thể nào còn khép lại. Since that time, the door of my heart is already opened. And reality calls for change, for revolution. And you can no longer shut the door of awareness, suffering, penetrating. Lửa cháy rừng thế kỷ. Fire is consuming the forest of the century. Loang lộ núi rừng hoang. Gió thép bên tai, bão tuyết bên trời quằn quại. The wind is howling, and there is a snowstorm going on outside. Vết thương mùa đông nằm nhớ lưỡi thắt lần. The wound that I carry in winter lay there and remember the sword that has created that wound. Bàng hoàng, bồn chồn, trăn trở, nhức nhối thâu đêm. I cannot sleep. I turn, I twist myself because it hurt and you cannot sleep. And that poem, that little poem revealed the suffering of a young man who wanted to do something in order to relieve the suffering. In the teaching of the Buddha, you learn that there is a kind of nutriment called volition. You need that kind of food in order to survive, to be strong enough to confront, to go through the difficulties. There are four kinds of nutriments. The first is edible food, breakfast, lunch, dinner. And the second source of nutriment is sensory impression. What you consume in terms of image, sound, music, movies, and sound, and this source of nutriment can be healthy or toxic. It depends. And the third source of food is volition. You want to do something. You aspire to something. You desire something. You should have a kind of desire in order to have enough energy to sustain yourself. And there are desires that can destroy yourself, that can destroy your body and mind. But there are desires that can give you a lot of strength. And Siddhartha also had a big desire, the desire to transform his own suffering and to help transform the suffering of the world. And that is a very healthy desire. That is an aspiration. That is a vow. And as a young person, you need that kind of food. You need to have a desire. You don't desire sex, money, fame, because many people destroy themselves running after the object of their desire. But there is a wholesome kind of desire. You want to do something in order to transform the suffering of the world. And that's why you're ordained as a monk or as a lay person. You do that not to avoid suffering, but to get the strength in order to cope and to transform the suffering inside of you and around you. And that is why volition is a very important source of nutriment. And all of us, whether we are monastic or lay people, we should nourish ourselves with that kind of desire, intention, vow, aspiration. Nguyện. that is a vow, that is aspiration, as that's desire. And Samantabhadra is the person that incarnate the virtue. Shiti Kakba is the person who incarnate that kind of energy. Đại nguyện Địa Tạng Vương. Shiti Kakba is someone who wants to go to where there is a lot of darkness, of suffering. He's not afraid of suffering. And if we have a strong vow, a strong aspiration, we'll be strong enough in order to deal with the difficulties that present themselves on our path. With that kind of vow, we are no longer afraid of anything. And of course, the fourth nutriment, the fourth source of nutriment is consciousness. Here is this, the collective consciousness. The Sangha has a collective desire. If we come together because we want to do something together. We know that alone we cannot do much, and that is why we have come together as a Sangha. And that is why in the Sangha there is a collective willingness, the collective energy, collective aspiration. And if we organize a retreat, if we go there, if we get busy organizing, because we want to do something to help people suffer less. We organize a retreat. We go to a tour, not because we want to have fame or power or money or sex, but because we want to offer people an opportunity to practice in order to suffer less. And why we do that, why we organize, we teach, we help people practice, we get the joy. So that is the kind of food that we get. So the desire, your deepest desire, your aspiration, your vow, and the collective energy of the Sangha, all these things constitute the kind of nutriment that we need in order to be strong, to be able to do something, to be effective in our effort to transform our suffering and the suffering of the world. Of course, there is suffering in ourselves. But when we have that kind of suffering, when we have that kind of energy, a strong aspiration, we want to do something, and then right away we feel that the suffering in us is no longer the most important thing, and we suffer less right away. When we see the suffering in the world, we know that the suffering inside of us is nothing at all. And that is why we suffer less right away. To get in touch with the suffering of the world, suddenly we feel that we suffer less. And that is why this kind of nutriment, this kind of food is very important. The desire, the aspiration. And if a young person does not have that aspiration, he is not really a young person. She is not really a young person anymore. And when you got that kind of desire in you, your eyes begin to shine. Your eyes get brighter. And your smile is more beautiful. And your steps become more firm. And that is the kind of nutriment, the kind of food that you need. And strong aspiration, a strong desire. And when we come together as a Sangha, we have a collective aspiration. And that is the kind of energy that helps us realize what we want to realize. I take refuge in the Sangha, not only for my sake, but for the sake of everyone. Because without the Sangha, nothing can be done. And they have said something very simple, but maybe very true. The next Buddha will be a Sangha. The next Buddha is no longer an individual, it is a Sangha. Because one Buddha is no longer enough. You have to be a Sangha. So let us come together in such a way that we can nourish our joy. We can nourish our brotherhood and sisterhood. We know that this is the path. And it was very clear that the Buddha had the same kind of insight. Upon enlightenment, the first thing he did is to build a Sangha. And that is why everything we do in our daily life, whether we plant vegetable, or we sweep the ground, or we clean the toilet, it's not because we want to earn money or to earn fame or anything, but because we want to build a Sangha. It's an act of brotherhood, an act of sisterhood. And you get the joy doing these kind of things as a Sangha. Smiling, singing, working together. And that we learn from a monastic retreat. And that is why we have to understand daily the meaning of Bodhat, Ngai Bodhat, Uposatha. Because during the time we are together, we nourish our joy, we nourish our purification, we nourish our aspiration. And as our aspiration becomes stronger and stronger, we can face many difficulties, and we can do something together in order to help reduce the suffering in the world. So let us organize our tour in such a way. Let us organize the summer opening in such a way that we will operate as a Sangha. It's our brotherhood, sisterhood. That should be the content of our action. We can get a lot of joy working together as a Sangha. And that kind of joy will heal us and help heal the world. Without the joy of brotherhood and sisterhood, we cannot do much. And Maitri, loving kindness, is nothing except brotherhood and sisterhood. Understanding bring about love, and love here is brotherhood and sisterhood. It's not romantic love. Romantic love is not enough. It's short-lived. Brotherhood and sisterhood is the kind of love that that lasts long, that can sustain us and help us to realize our vow. We have the Wake Up organization. We are in touch with the young people a little bit everywhere. And this is part of our efforts to build a Sangha. And we should be able to create that kind of awareness. That without the Sangha, without being together, we cannot help transform the suffering. So during the summer opening, we should discuss with the young people who come here and who are in touch with us through electronic means, that we got to build our Sangha in order to be able to do something. And we have to create joy, happiness, brotherhood, sisterhood, in order to succeed in our attempt to build the Sangha. Sister Châu Nghiêm, Thầy Pháp Dung, have drafted a text about applied ethics. And we can work on this topic. Because this is a kind of practice that can help bring peace into our body, our feelings, our emotions. That is a practice that can reconcile ourselves with ourselves, ourselves with other members of our family, our society. And as far as the practice is concerned, we know exactly what the young people need to learn in terms of practice, so that they can understand the suffering, they can identify the suffering and the suffering in the world. So that they have instruments to work with in order to transform themselves and help reconcile and transform the world. And the Sangha now has an opportunity to offer that kind of teaching and practice to the young people. We are able to organize retreat for the young people a little bit everywhere in the world now. The Mahachulalongkorn University in Bangkok has agreed to organize together with Plum Village a retreat for young people in Asia, in many countries of Asia. And the Asian Institute of Applied Buddhism in Hong Kong is going to organize to help organize that, and also in Hong Kong. I think we have to talk to educators in Europe, in America. We have to talk to congressmen and senators about this. Thầy is going to have a retreat for congressmen in Washington, D.C. And Thai will discuss about this, and maybe they can form a group and in Congress and propose a kind of law that can bring this kind of learning and practice into school. Next year, they will have an opportunity to address the House of Lords in London. And he will speak about this. So our monastic and lay communities can be aware of that and try our best in order to do the same thing. We do it together. Whether we are parents or teachers, whether we are lay practitioners or monastics, we can do what we can in order to promote this kind of practice. A few brothers and sisters are already preparing to write a letter to President Sarkozy on this. Because according to this article printed in Le Figaro, they are going to teach in school about morality is just a number of sayings, popular sayings like Pierre qui roule ne n'amasse pas mousse, bien man à qui ne profite jamais, qui vole en neuf, vole en bœuf. And they will be explaining this kind of things. But we know that there are many practical things that the young people can learn in order to become a better citizen, member of a society. And we also know that when you teach, when you offer this practice to the young people, you have to be able to do it yourself. We begin with the practice of releasing the tension and reduce the pain in the body. Because the young people, they already have a lot of tension in their body. And if we as a teacher do not know how to release the tension and stress in our body, how can we teach the young people? And that is why we have to train school teachers to do that. So to give them a book, a manual of morality is not enough. We have to actualize, train school teachers. And those of us, monastic or lay people, who know how to do it well, we can help train school teachers. School teachers have to be able to do that in order to teach. This is not theory, this is practice. And then when you are able to release tension in your body, you can reduce the pain you have in your body. And you can prevent many kind of disease that are born from tension in the body. So school teachers should be able to lead a session of total relaxation. A school teacher should be able to lead a session of walking, mind, peaceful walking, or walking meditation, so that the young people can experience a little bit of peace and solidity and freedom while walking. That is always possible, and the school teachers have to learn that. We have to get in touch with school teachers and their organization. We had to get in touch with ministries of education by many ways. And then we should learn how to breathe in and out in order to release our tension, to embrace our feeling, our painful feeling. When there is a feeling of anger, there's a feeling of despair, you have to know how to take care of that feeling. And school teachers should know how to do it in order to transmit their wisdom and their know-how to the young people. And when there is a conflict, you know how to practice deep listening, compassionate listening, and loving speech in order to restore communication. That is something you can learn only if you know how to practice. So school teachers have to be able to do that in order to transmit the wisdom and know-how to the young people. And that is why you as a young monastic or a young lay practitioner, you know what to do in your daily life. You have to master the techniques. You have to learn and master the practice because they need you. Your time should be used in order to do that. Tomorrow you might be appointed to train a group of school teachers. And if you are not ready, how can you do that? So we have many things to do now, to train ourselves, to improve our quality of practice in order to help, whether we are on a teaching tour or summer opening. We know that every moment is an opportunity for us to practice, to transform ourselves, to get ready in order to serve, because you ordain in order to do that. We have no time to spend on things that are not really important. So based on the text written by Brother Pháp Dung, Sư Cô Châu Nghiêm, we shall write letters proposing to Chief of State, Ministries of Education, Congressmen to do that, because that is what we can do. And you have to do it well. And that's the way we continue the work of the Buddha. Our path is very clear. We have something to do. We know that if we can do that, we can help reduce the suffering, the amount of suffering in the world. Thay has managed to preserve his aspiration alive. Although he is about 80, but he is still young in that aspect. And he wants to transmit that energy to his students. Do not grow old, stay young. Get the appropriate kind of food. Build brotherhood, sisterhood, to continue Thay, to continue the Buddha.